Harper Audio presents The Candlemas Road by George MacDonald Fraser, read by Joseph Valderrama. Chapter 1. A fellow of Clare Hall, being in that state where another hour's tippling should render him swine drunk, asked me, if I had a choice of all mankind that ever lived, which would I choose to sit by me as a guest at the next college feast? I made excuse that I was not of his learned society, but he said all was one for that, and I must choose or be fined in stoops for the company. Still, I would have put him off, for I longed to be quiet in my corner by the fire, away from the babble and ass laughter of him and his companions, and have no part in their silly conceits designed to show off their wit and learning, and little they had of either in their cups. They, and I, had been at the great mask Ignoramus, given before his majesty, to his seeming content, if not mine, but it may be at this his Latin was better than I knew, for that he laughed out of courtesy, for a windier piece of dullness I never saw than that mask, that was well titled for them that applauded it, being men of the colleges. His majesty clapped patiently, so I clapped too. It put them in a learning mood afterwards that were in the buttery, with such follies as what folk lived on the stars, and what part of the anatomy was the seat of mirth, and anon to debating what cup companion they would choose for their feast. One said, Julius Caesar, and another, Saint Francis, and others, Aristotle, and Ptolemy, and Roger Bacon. Their vanity supposing they could have held equal discourse with these champions and sages, and then seeing me that sat withdrawn, cried out that the old Portingale should speak his mind. For he hath travelled in his time and been a priest too, so sure he is ignorant enough. Seeing their canary humour, I begged again to be let be. Nay, but ye shall answer or be fined, said they. And after we'll have the breeches off thee for a sullen old rascal, that hops of his left foot. Choose now, or pay forfeit. Seeing no help, I said if one must sit by me at any feast of theirs, it should be Attila the Hun, so should I be spared their rudeness and intrusion. Some accounted it a good answer, and laughed, but he that speared at me scowled, and said they had none at their feast but those they might have good of, and I must name another, since Attila was a monstrous beast that none could have any good of, being cursed and altogether abominable. At this, I, being part drunk myself, said he lied, for good might be had of the worst that ever were in certain cases. At this he swore that if I could not prove it by logic, I should pay double forfeit and swim in the Cam for my impudence. So let me say how one could have good of Attila, or any like him. His fellows grinned and gleeked about me, and some cried, At him, old papist! But others, Confound the Jesuit, he mocks us to the river with him! And bade me make good mine argument. First, I told them, they should name any two from whom they might hope to have the greatest good, other than our Lord, for it was not fit to name him in such a question. They that had named Aristotle and Saint Francis as their chosen guests again cried out their names, and with those I was content, saying that against them I would justify Attila, and another like him, as Chinggis Khan, or Hulagu, of whom I doubt these scholars had heard, though they cried I to him. I would do it, I said, on an hypothesis as thus. Here is any one of you, in a lonely place, as a little cabin in the wilderness, with no neighbors or friends by, and ye are sick and feeble, and with you your wife, and two fair daughters. Hereon they cried that being young, they had no daughters, and would other men's daughters do, to give them solace in that lonely place, whereof they doubted not they would soon be enfeebled if not sick. I let them bray it out. And
Sample complete. Ready to continue?